Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Everett.
And Sickle, and we are Sickle and Ifrit. We are the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we are going to jump right into it on this week's podcast, talking about Let's Not Meet.
Yeah, so Let's Not Meet is a movie I literally just got done watching. It's a movie about a kind of, it's kind of Crash-esque in terms of how the people meet up in the movie, and you don't really know they're going to be related until they are, I guess, is a way to describe it. And it's about a pizza delivery girl who's like making her last stop, which kind of drew me into the movie. And then it's about her escape from this crazy thing that's happening to her when she runs into some campers who are also being terrorized. And mostly the title "Let's Not Meet" got me, because "Let's Not Meet" is actually a subreddit where you can go and you can read people's like kind of no sleep esque stories about stalkers and things like that. So I was really interested in it, right? Because I thought it was another Channel Zero type of thing. And not to say that it definitely wasn't, but not to say that it was horrible, but it just had some really weird stuff in it that I definitely don't think will make for like a classically great movie. First of all, it's kind of shot in such a way, and the actors and actresses are in it, and they're not very good. So, like, you kind of get that B-movie feel in an era where B-movies are actually better than this movie now. So I guess that makes it, like, a C-movie. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you just work your way down the alphabet.
That's G-movie. Sector G. So that was kind of, like, once you get past that, it gets a little bit easier to swallow, right? And these campers are in the forest talking about all this stuff, and there's this cult in the forest or something like that that was, like, taken out of the forest a long time ago. Doesn't really matter what the story is. But basically, this pizza delivery girl is delivering a pizza to the house, and she gets, like, basically kidnapped by this guy who's hunting something, and you don't know what yet, and he needs her for bait. And then she ends up escaping and finding the campers, and then you have this whole like triangle between this thing that's stalking the campers in the forest and the hunter, who's, you know, I guess because you know he's a hunter, is hunting the thing in the forest, but needs the people who are in getting hunted to capture the thing that's hunting them in this weird, crazy circle of things that are happening. And so, while it doesn't, it's not like a really good, again, I keep saying that, but it's no other way to really say it. It's kind of entertaining, and it's not very long, so you really don't have to stick with it. But one thing that really bothered me is, like, there's a monster in this, and I'll just tell you right now. There is a monster in the woods, and it's something that's hunting
these
campers.
Oh, great. Come on, Ifrit. Spoilers!
Dude, if you're going to watch Let's Not Meet, and you, like, are really broken up by it, you can send me a message, and I'll apologize to you directly and use your name. I don't want to call someone out. Okay, never mind. There's a monster in it, and first off, it's one of those movies where, like, it does the thing with the subtitles where it uses the subtitle, like, the character's name in the movie in the subtitle before they've even introduced anything else. So you, like, kind of get that, like, spoiler of, like, what the thing is. So they, like, this thing is talking. Like, the hunter in the beginning of the movie is talking to the monster, and they call him a ghoul in the subtitle. So I was like, okay, that was kind of a dumb giveaway. Like, so I'm expecting, like, what's that movie from Telluride this year? A Dark Place or something like that? The one about the ghoul and the kid who become friends?
Oh, yeah, I think it was just The Dark.
The Dark, okay. And so I was kind of expecting something like that kind of ghoul. And then all of a sudden, they unmask this dude, like, all the way through the movie, and it's this crazy, like, demon thing, right? And you kind of, like, they're kind of throwing these little clues out there that he might be a vampire because he, like, drinks blood, and that's why the hunter needs the young girl so he can get her blood type on the trees. There's some convoluted story that doesn't really make sense, but or it does, but I just didn't really pay attention to it because it wasn't necessary. So he looks like a classic, like Joss Whedon-esque Buffy the Vampire Slayer demon. And then he's supposed to be, like, a vampire, though. And so, like, I just got really confused about what the hell it was supposed to be. And I ended up just getting kind of, like, butthurt. I couldn't figure it out, and they didn't make it clear, and just totally, like, not enjoying the end of the movie because of it. Because, like, they ended up killing him with a stake. But, like, he totally looks like a demon. But he's referred to as a ghoul. And I just was like, okay, I think I'm done. Like, I think I'm good.
It just stopped paying attention to, like, the standards for, like, you know, the tropes for each creature. And it was just like, eh, let's just throw them all together. I don't care.
Which, like, I can respect in other movies, but this one didn't, like, do a very good job of it. It was kind of fun, and I've heard some stories. It might actually have been inspired by one of those, like, Let's Not Meets or No Sleeps, because there's one about a guy who delivers pizzas and the crazy things he sees at night. But it is directed by Ryan Calloway, so, you know, good job, Ryan. It's a pretty well-put-together movie for, you know, how much I think you spent on it, and congratulations.
Has he done other stuff?
Not that I've seen. I mean, he's, like, four movies on his, like, director thing on IMDb, and it's The Girl in the Cornfield, Let's Not Meet, Where Demons Dwell, and Messenger of the Wrath. And so, okay. Oh, actually, he's done a lot more than that, but those are the five, like, ones that pop up.
Okay.
The Watchers, The Curse, Worth the Price. Yeah, there's just stuff on here I've never heard of. But I might go watch some of his other ones to see, because Let's Not Meet wasn't, like, terrible, terrible. It's just, like, not something that's, like, groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that aren't groundbreaking, we can segue right into what you want to talk about.
That was a fantastic segue.
Thanks.
I just wanted to, bring up this new Netflix movie that's going to be coming out soon, and a particular horror news site, which, since I'm going to be a little bit harsh on it, won't mention the name this time, but they're talking about this new Netflix movie that's going to be coming out, and the title was like this new, cool, groundbreaking film synopsis. Just sounds amazing, and we can't wait for it, and it sounds cool, and we're really excited. And
That was the title of the article?
Yeah, and I was like, I want to read the synopsis. This sounds awesome. Like, it sounds like something original and creative. So I read the... Let me actually find it really quick, because I want to read the exact synopsis. And you're going to immediately think of three movies. I'm sure you will. The exact synopsis is, the script follows a female assassin who, after being poisoned and with less than 24 hours to live, goes on a manhunt through the streets of Tokyo to take vengeance on her murderer before she dies.
All right.
I was like, wait, that
we'll
sounds
give you
exactly
5 seconds
like...
to figure out what movies those are before he says it.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 seconds up. I'm not going to wait that long.
Oh, that was pretty good. Jason Statham, the Crank movies. That not only was there one, there was a sequel. And then I was thinking, I was like, wait, I saw a movie even more recently than those two movies that was just like that synopsis. Like, this synopsis says, in the synopsis, it says, 24 hours to live. And I was like, wait, wasn't there an Ethan Hawke movie that was already a ripoff of the Crank movies that was called something, what was it? Oh, yeah, it was called 24 Hours to Live. How is that an original synopsis? How is that a movie to get excited about? It sounds exactly like three other movies that have existed in the last decade.
That's
not original.
I guess where I could see it coming from is, like, sometimes you gotta put stuff in a title that draws people, even though you're lying to them about it. I don't want to, like, talk about integrity or anything like that, because that's not really what I was trying to imply. I was trying to imply that, like, a lot of YouTube does that to try to get hits and things like that, and you'll end up clicking on a video and they'll be like, yeah, well, it's not exactly this, but stay tuned for this thing, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm not too mad, but maybe tone it down a little bit, people on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, everybody's subject to their some hyperbole now and then, especially to, like, make a point. It definitely wasn't as much that the title is, even if the title had been more relaxed and said, hey, look, a cool Netflix movie is coming out. I'm like, oh, okay. If I read that synopsis, I'd be like, really, I'd just be disappointed. I'd be like, come on, Netflix.
Is this
come
supposed
up
to be
with
like a
original
horror take on it or something? Or
it,
is it
says,
just...
no, it just says action thriller, which I suppose you could say takes it a little bit more serious than Crank did.
A lot of people call...
Crank definitely doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah, a lot of people called It Follows a thriller. And I just lost the meaning of what the word thriller meant after that, so...
It can be very convoluted. I mean, we've discussed it before. There's overlap with horror and thriller, definitely. Those two genres. They're cousins, they're sisters. They've slept together.
Oh, nice.
Second cousins. Yeah. They've produced offspring with, like, three arms and two ears on one side that you're like, I don't know what you are, but I want to watch it. So, that's...
There you go. That's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's going to be on Netflix, right?
Yes, that one's on Netflix, so it's not like you're the only thing that you're gambling on is your own time to watch it. And I'll admit I'll probably end up watching it, but I was just disappointed in the synopsis. I was hoping for more, and I guess we can segue from that into the other Netflix movie that you and I are both looking forward to, even though we have differing thoughts on it.
Oh, you're just going to say that right at the beginning, huh?
Introduce the conflict.
Well, the movie is called Bird Box, and it's coming out on Netflix soonish. I don't know when. I don't really pay attention to that stuff. At some point, I'll open Netflix, and it'll be available to watch, and I'll get excited. But
it's sometime later this month, I believe.
It's a very good cast. Let's just start with that. John Malkovich, Sarah Paulson, Sandra Bullock, other people that are probably you've seen elsewhere, whose pictures are too small for me to recognize on IMDb at the moment. BD Wong's in it, but it looks cool. It's about why don't you tell us what it's about, Sickle?
I'm gonna keep the theme of just reading synopses. So I've got the synopsis pulled up on IMDb
synopsi?
Right now.
It's synopsi.
Oh, I'm sorry, synopsi. You're right. I should have. Yeah, synopsis is a woman and a pair of children are blindfolded and it that doesn't sound like a sentence. A woman and a pair of children are blindfolded and make their way through a dystopian setting along a river. That is a terrible synopsis. even based on not saying that the movie is bad. That's not the point I'm making. It's that synopsis is very poor considering the trailer that you and I both watched. On Netflix.
I feel like I feel dumb right now because I'm not really sure why it's called Bird Box, but I know that there's 100,000 people out there that totally get it, and I'm just too dumb of a demon. That's why I drive a bus. Like, I was never meant to think that hard.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I don't think that you have to beat yourself up that bad about it. I mean, like, I don't know why Blue Ruin is called Blue Ruin.
Why is this movie called Bird Box?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, cool.
I couldn't tell you.
We're in the same
No, it's
here.
Not so... Oh, yeah, totally. So either we're both stupid or, you know, it's... it's just something
or,
that's
or
on your head
Or your favorite
until you watch
movie
it.
Just doesn't make any sense.
There you go.
So, I think it looks cool. I mean, I've seen the trailer a few times now, and I'm kind of excited for it. I definitely hope that they have a little payoff in this movie. That's good, you know? Kind of like a little bit of Annihilation mixed with like A Quiet Place, which is obviously the movie you could easily compare this to, where like you actually get to see a thing and they're cool. Like, I don't know if I enjoyed Annihilation too much, but I did like a lot of the stuff I got to see in it, right?
Yeah. Oh, visually, I loved Annihilation.
Yeah.
And I really have enjoyed you enjoy the journey more than the conclusion.
Yeah.
Of Annihilation.
Yeah.
Like, the journey is amazing.
So I hope this movie is great. Like, it does sound like it's something that's not of this earth or not, you know, human that's hunting them. But I'm wondering, like, the whole idea is that if you look at it, it takes on the monster takes on the form of your greatest fear. And that just opens up so many doors for me. That's kind of cool. Because it doesn't even have to be a creature, right? It could just be, like, an entity or, like, a... something.
It could be
right?
Your abusive stepfather.
Well, yeah. I just mean, like, if it itself, the creature itself doesn't have to be a creature. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. It could be like a, it could just be like a force, right? Or something like that. Like in, kind of like in Annihilation, it's like a force, right? And in Quiet Place, it's like literally an alien creature. And so they could go either way with this and make it really cool, you know?
Yeah. You actually reminded me of something, and I'm not driving home the originality of the plot here, because the way that it's dealt with, it's different in its plot structure than A Quiet Place, in that this is happening during whatever is happening, whatever the attack is, it's happening during it instead of after. So you're getting like the experience of like what is happening to the world as they're experiencing what this thing is. So it is definitely different in structure in that sense. But what you mentioned as far as the creature or the entity, whatever it is, it reminds me of one of the best episodes of X-Files that's actually like a satire of Cops. I don't know if you've seen that one, Ifrit. It's actually super fun. You should go and watch it. It's not only is it hilarious, Like, it's a really funny episode, but the creature in it is super interesting. And it gives kind of this, like, explanation for why we see all these different monsters, that they it could potentially just be one, this one creature. Hmm. So, like, the whole plot of it is that, like, Mulder and Scully are on, you know, they're it's like a cops episode, so, like, there's just cameras following them, and like, a cop crew, whatever, and they're going from, like, incident to incident in the middle of the night, and, like, all these people keep reporting, like, when they're interviewing people about, like, what they saw and everything, everybody's, like, witness is, like, everybody's, like, testimony is different. Like, everybody saw something different. And so they're like, well, what the heck? Are we chasing a werewolf, or are we chasing this lady's ex-boyfriend who is super abusive? Like, what are we chasing after? And it, like, ends up being this, like, entity that, like, just takes the form of whatever you're most afraid of. And so it's, like, humanity comes up with, like, these horrible things, like vampires and Dracula, and this thing takes the form of all of these things. So, like, your imagination is the limit of what this thing could do.
Sweet.
And what this thing is.
That does sound like a pretty cool episode.
Like.
That also reminded me of that Marvel character, Fear?
Or yes, Trauma.
Yeah. And we don't have to get too deep into that, but I think that is an interesting premise to look through. Even if it is, I'll admit it, a blatant playoff of the success of Quiet Place.
You're willing to admit it.
I will admit that this is one of those movies that's like, oh, like, what is the freaking Christian Bale and the Tesla movies that came out around the same time? Like, the Magician one, I cannot remember the name of it right now.
Oh, The Illusionist.
The Illusionist, yeah. And then, like, the Tesla one that came out around the same time, like, they looked really similar, but they were different.
The Prestige.
The Prestige, yeah. Those two movies, like, They were like in that box of movies where, like, one studio got a whiff, another studio was doing something and was trying to push something out and blah blah blah. But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh.
Oh, I was just gonna say that, like, that we could spend a whole episode, and I kind of would like to at some point, of discussing, like, the weird event of twos.
Yeah.
Like, that they come in pairs. Like, these movies that are similar in style, like, it's just this kind of weird phenomena that happens in movies, and, I mean, there's an explanation for it. It's just that somebody gets a whiff of this, like, writing, of, like, this script that's out there, and then somebody else another studio tries to beat them to it.
Or you have,
90% of the time, yeah, that's the reason.
Or you have things like, these didn't happen quite as quickly as I thought they would have, but the remake of Friday the 13th and the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Like,
yeah.
Those things didn't happen, like, directly after each other, but they happened pretty close, and it's, like, even those kinds of twos where you're like, oh, it's the remake twos, or it's the blah, 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 right? And I think it'll be fun. But let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about a movie that is pretty much completely original as far as I can tell, and has one of the world's greatest actors in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not know what
Mandy.
You're talking about. Oh, my gosh. Oh, if we're going to put Nicolas Cage on that kind of a pedestal.
Oh yeah,
that
if you
good.
Don't like Nicolas Cage, you probably belong in hell.
Ugh,
or is it the other way? I don't know. Anyway, Mandy is a crazy kind of romp. I'll read the synopsis on this one because you probably should have heard about this if you're a horror buff at all, because it was really weird and it came out and people were like, "What the hell?" But the enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by a nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into a spiraling, surreal rampage of vengeance. That is an incredibly accurate plot of this movie.
Oh, very, very much
that
so.
That was way
very
better
accurate.
Than the last two.
Yes. Oh, I agree. I agree completely. That this movie, like, you were able to see it before I was, mm-hmm. But I was finally able to catch it actually last night, and it was something else to behold, and I can't, and, like, that's kind of actually the way that you it said it to me, like, what this movie was, and I just remember watching it the first, I'll be honest with you, I don't know your perspective, but the first 30 minutes were tough for me. I'm not a very, I'm not big on, like, psychedelic visuals, that's not my thing.
Yeah, the first I was watching it, which wasn't you, was,
cheating on me.
Yeah, I know. we felt the same way. We were making jokes during the first like half hour and couldn't focus, and I was like having to ask a bunch of recode questions because I was like, what is happening here? But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, and then it just and then I was like, this movie better just hit a freaking like
hit its
just
stride.
Like hit yes, it needs to hit its stride. It needs to hit the NOS. Like I need to see something happen here, and then it does. It does.
Nicolas Cage.
Eventually, like we get. To, I was like, I need to see more of the Hellraiser biker people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we go any further, we're gonna talk about spoilers here. So, like, if you haven't seen Mandy, turn this podcast off or skip forward. I don't know. I don't know what you should do. We're gonna talk about something else later. So fast forward until you hear us not talking about Mandy. Or just go watch it, and then come back after you're done. But, spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It's, I just, I was excited at the beginning when you first get a glimpse of these, bikers that look like they're straight Cenobites out of Hellraiser.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is very interesting. And then, like, the next scene, I'm like, that was a little dull. I need more.
But and that's like the really first mad point in the movie you get. That you're like, this is like, because that is after they decided to, the hippie cult decides to kidnap his wife, Nicolas Cage's wife, who's Mandy, and they're like, we can't just take her because we can't do that, right, for some reason or another. So they like, what I can't even remember what they sacrifice, but they basically pay these demon biter henchmen in like blood or something.
Yeah, and they sacrifice one of their own worshiper members.
And people. They sacrifice him, and then these demon bikers just go in and like tear up the place and take and kidnap Mandy, and that's it. Like at that point, you're pretty much convinced that those guys were just there to do that, and they're done. And you're like, oh, I guess this is turning back into a regular movie because Nicolas Cage kind of goes into like a depression for like a scene or three, and he's like not really sure what to do.
and it's full of that in between where you're watching Nicolas Cage do something and you're like, this seems like good acting, but it's still awkward for some reason. Why is it awkward? Why is everything he does awkward?
And then he goes and visits the hippies to try to get Mandy back. And this is the biggest spoiler, so if you're still listening, this is your second alert. Okay. They straight up like set her on fire and back and make him watch. And you're like, oh, damn. Like, and that's when shit starts to get for real.
Yeah, and like, if it wasn't for the synopsis of knowing that this was a revenge movie, at that point I would have been just like, I wouldn't surprise me if this movie just ended right now.
Yeah, right.
With the way that it's been going, how weird it is, I could see it just cutting to him when in that scene in the bathroom when he's drunkenly like scream crying. And you're just like, I wouldn't be surprised if the credits just rolled. And that was it. This is what you get.
Yet another Nicolas Cage
thankfully there's
troll.
More.
Yeah, but then there is more. Because I think, like, the first thing he does after that is, like, forge a sword.
Like, this, like, giant axe.
Oh, yeah, an
made
axe.
Of
yeah.
silver. Yeah, that's got, like, a spear on the end of it. And, yet, no, the movie has no sensibility at all.
And you're like, where the hell did this come from? Like, how did he get a forge, and why is he forging, and... But he's doing it, and it's happening, and I'm just going to follow along with this journey.
Yeah, and of course, you know, as is the cliche in a lot of revenge movies, he's got a best friend that lives in the middle of nowhere, who in this case happens to be Mac from Predator, that is, yep. You know, of course, holding a stash of weapons for him to take. And so this guy's been holding on to some crossbow that Nicolas Cage asked him to hold on to for some reason.
To be clear, up until this point, this isn't like John Wick, right? Like, you have no clue that this dude is, like, a badass at all. He's just a dude living in the forest with his wife. And
yeah.
So when you start to see him like forge a weapon and get all these other things, you're like, what is about to happen? Is he just going to get like straight up murdered like Death Wish style, or is it going to be like an actual revenge? You don't know. I mean, you could probably guess, but at this point you're kind of unsure.
Yeah, let's give credit to the film for that, because if you're guessing, you're like, I don't know how far he's going to be able to get. Like, what's going to happen here? And you're like, you're even more concerned and questioning it, mm-hmm. because he goes after the biker gang Hellraiser
first.
People first.
Yeah, and you're like, oh no, this isn't going to go well. And then it doesn't. You're like, oh yeah, no, this is terrible.
Yeah, and you're thinking like, and I will actually say that actually to me was a detriment to the film. Because after that, you're like, well, this is just kind of not as big of a climax because the main cultist people, they can't defend themselves really. And so then after that point, it's just a slaughter. Like, it's just, you're like, well, I know Nicolas Cage is going to win now. He just killed the Cenobites.
But there's some, like, weird stuff that happens because he has to go on, like, a journey. And as soon as he goes to start killing the devil bikers, the demon bikers, he's not in the same place anymore. Like, it's almost like, if you're thinking about it on that kind of higher plane of thinking about movies, he's like taking a journey through his own mind or something, trying to get revenge. And then you could Total Recall it and say, is that even real or not? But I'm not here to look into it like that, because the movie's really cool and you should go watch it. And it does kind of goes up and down, like literally up and down, like a bell curve. It goes slow, and it's really cool, and then it kind of ends on like a weird slow note.
And then it almost like retcons itself, like towards the end, where you've got like this, where like the cultist people are telling you that the bikers are this like unholy people that, you know, beings that come out and do your bidding when you sacrifice to them, and then later on, Mac from Predator is saying like, no, they're just tripping on this really bad LSD and. You just—that's what's wrong with them, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa! Which thing is it?
Wait,
and
what?
Then Nicolas Cage is taking the LSD, and you're like, but the cultists still think that they're a god, and you're just don't. It's out there.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, the second half of the movie, kind of gotta pay attention more than I did to kind of get it, and I definitely didn't. But it was fun to watch, cause there's a tiger at some point. And
that scene, I still don't get, but I'm pretty sure that the guy in that scene is the guy from 31 that I loved so much.
Oh, I thought that was the main cultist guy. Anyway, you should go watch Mandy, because Mandy was an amazing journey. Like, it's an experience. Like, you don't have to watch it again. You're pretty much done after you watch it once. I don't. You might want to watch it again.
Yeah.
That's up to you. But
yeah, I probably don't.
Watching it is, even with the stuff that we've said today, you could watch it and still be like, what? They did not even do it justice for, like, what's happening right now. So,
But do keep in mind, you gotta get through that first half hour or so.
And you should definitely watch it with people who can handle that kind of movie. Revenge film, you gotta make sure they can do a revenge film. You gotta make sure that they are not triggered by a lot of horror stuff. And then they're good. But, like, if you're watching this in your basement, your mom walked in, like, when you were kids, you would have, yeah, like, we would have gotten in trouble. Like,
yeah, it is pretty
well,
violent.
Not our moms, but, like, your mom.
Well,
of
yes.
The listener.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There you go.
One
more thing you want to talk about, Dalton? One more thing you want to talk about, Sickle?
Well, it's only fair for you to have broken the fourth wall like me once. Now I feel better. I mean, we've only got a couple minutes here left, but I just was kind of wanting to bring up just a little emotional thought that I had, where I really like monster movies in whatever form they come, and that includes Godzilla, and I'm really excited for the new Godzilla King of the Monsters movie that is starring Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things and Kyle Chandler from every TV drama that you've ever seen. And I really am looking forward to it because I am a huge fan of King Ghidorah and Rodan and not so much Mothra, but everybody else. And so I'm like really excited for this movie, and I feel like amongst Ifrit and I's friends that I'm kind of the only one that's actually excited for this movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty indifferent. I'm as indifferent about this as I was about, like, the Pacific Rim movies. Like, I think that they could be cool. And I did watch the first Pacific Rim and the first Godzilla, but, like, nothing's driving me to go see it the days it comes out or something. But, definitely has the potential to be cool because it's a monster movie, but it's not a monster movie in the way that I like monster movies typically, because there's no interaction. It's between people and the monsters as much as there is in, like, a creature feature, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do prefer the claustrophobic creature feature environment a lot more. I like, I probably like the Relic way more than I should. I probably like Mimic way more than I should. But like, I love those types of movies, and this is just kind of the easiest way for me to get my fix is like the high budget blockbuster monster movies. But you brought up a good point with Pacific Rim, and I do have a similar sentiment as far as that goes. Like, I watched the first one, and I enjoyed it enough, and I liked the visuals. Like, I liked the creativity of the monsters and the big mechs. After it, when I saw the second one coming out, I was like, oh, really? You guys are going to make two of those?
So you did that instead of make Mounds of Madness? That's cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, and unfortunately, Guillermo del Toro is going to be held to that for the rest of our lives, or for the rest of our undead lives. That got canceled, and now we're just like, every time Guillermo del Toro comes out with something, we're like, yeah, but this isn't Mountains of Madness. Thanks
like,
a lot.
He's like George R. R. Martin, like writing books that aren't the like next book of the Game of Thrones, but like not because he didn't get it canceled, just because like George R. R. Martin's like a jerk. But Guillermo del Toro is not a jerk.
Case, this is different. In this case, yeah, del Toro is not the jerk because he really wanted to do it. It's the studios that are jerks.
All right, well, that's all the time we have today, folks. If you like listening to us talk about movies and horror and stuff, let us know. Like, comment, subscribe. And, you know, thanks for listening.
Yep. All right. Catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.